We come to you as thirsty, hungry people, O Lord God. We have spent the vast majority of our time this week, Lord God, supping on the world's fare. And we are hungry. So we come to you, O Lord. And we say, Father, would you feed us? Would you teach us? Would you shape us, mold us, O God? Would you strengthen us? Would you encourage us? Would you correct us, Lord God? That we would be your people. Thank you that you are our God. That you are with us and will never leave us, O God. And that right now, in this time, as we sit here, Almighty God, you are with us. So, Father, we ask that your will be done in this time. Please, Lord, don't let us leave here without seeing you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, as I sort of try to level set again every Sunday through this series, when the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, started with the Beatitudes, describing not how to become a Christian, but the heart of the one who is a Christian. The heart of one who's been transformed by believing in Jesus Christ, becoming born again, and the heart as God is changing our heart and transforming our hearts. We then went on in the rest of chapter 5 as Jesus said, listen, Christian, listen, follower of me, my child, here is how you are to relate to my Old Testament, to my law. And he changed, he fulfilled it. He explained what it meant not to murder. That just not shedding blood wasn't enough. That you couldn't be angry with one another. That not committing adultery wasn't just about physical acts, but that it was about looking at one another lustfully. Then now, as we go into chapter 6, this first section we're in, which we actually close today, we come to the completion of this first section of chapter 6, he's been talking about, okay, Christian, who've been transformed, you who are my people, you who have been redeemed, who've been saved, been born again by believing in me, here's how you should relate to your religious activities, your righteous acts. Here's what it looks like. And he's been describing the heart. The outward activity may look the same, and one way is of God, and one way is opposed to God. And the difference is the heart. And Jesus was giving examples of the heart. And he gave three examples. He gave in our giving life, and he gave in our prayer life, and now this morning will be in our fasting life. He'll then go on, starting next week in the rest of chapter 6, to describe, okay, Christian, my beloved child, here is what it looks like for the rest of your life, for the mundane things of life, clothing and eating and drinking. Mundane or normal, the normal things, the secular things of life, and we'll see that coming up. So would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. As we look this morning, verses 16 through 18, as Jesus describes fasting. What is it like to fast? What does it mean? How are we to fast? Matthew chapter 6. And let's remember, this whole section is really summed up in verse 1 of chapter 6, and all the rest of it, up until verse 18, are just illustrations of what verse 1 means. And verse 1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So our religious life is not to be done for others. Display, pridefully, making us look great, is to be done unto God and God alone. And that sounds so obvious and so simple, and yet because our hearts are wicked, the subtleties of our sin just creep in, and we may see some of that this morning, I pray. So please follow along as I read verses 16 through 18. Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is God's word. Fasting. What a bizarre topic, huh? Fasting. What is that? Seems like something from a long ago age, something that doesn't have anything to do with us today. The idea of fasting, most of us don't consider it, don't think about it, don't partake in it. Occasionally, if we're reading through the Scriptures, usually the first couple times we're reading through the Gospels, we come across fasting, and we go, huh, I wonder what that's all about, and we kind of think about it and wrestle with it a little bit, and maybe try a little bit, and then you just get confused by fasting. This morning is not going to be a comprehensive review on fasting, but I do want to speak to it quite a bit because I believe this passage is teaching us a lot about fasting. But at the end of the day, this passage is not about fasting. This passage is about how we live as Christians in our religious life to God. It's an illustration of how our acts of righteousness are to be done. And to kind of give the closing away here, that our acts, whatever it is, our giving, our prayer, our fasting, whatever it is, our service, our loving one another, is to be unto God because we love Him. Not so that we would be seen and be patted on the back and be congratulated and be thought much of by our fellow men and women. We want to please God, not to please one another. That is the heart of the Christian, of the disciple of Christ. Fasting. Let's look at a few things here. First, the first three words, let's not go by those too quickly. Really, the first word, but when you fast. Jesus here is assuming His disciples will fast. He's not saying if. He's not condemning fasting. Though later on in Matthew, we will see that some of the Pharisees get angry at His disciples because they're not fasting. And Jesus says, why should the friends of the bridegroom fast when the bridegroom is with them? There'll be time for fasting later. But He's not condemning fasting here. He is assuming that we will fast, that His followers will fast. So that's something that we need to really wrestle with and really need to consider as we go forward here and we think about fasting, not only this morning, but in our lives in general. That there's an assumption from Jesus that it will be part of, in some way, in some fashion, in some means, the life of His followers, of Christians, of believers. Well, he kind of, as he's been doing all these illustrations, and he did a lot in chapter 5, he's going to first say what not to do, and then what to do. But let's be careful, because even in this, we are so capable, so easily capable, of taking even the words of Jesus and turning them into chains of law. Into a to-do list. Into, if I do this right, I'm good. If I do it wrong, I'm bad. And that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He is using what we do as illustrations, but what He is illustrating is our hearts. Our heart attitude, our heart beating for God or for self. These are just illustrations of that. First, he says, don't fast like other people. Don't fast like, if he calls them here, hypocrites. Don't do it this way. Well, what does he mean by that? What is it that they're doing that he is condemning? Are they doing it wrong? Are they fasting too often? Are they fasting not enough? Are they fasting at the wrong times of the year? Are they fasting in the wrong places? No. Jesus again and again is saying, throw away form. It's not about the forms that it takes. It's about your heart. And the problem with, as he describes, the hypocrites and their fasting is that their fasting is so they would receive applause from fellow men and women, so that other people would say, what a righteous person that man or woman is who's fasting. Look at their devotion to God. They're amazing. When that creeps into our heart, Jesus says, sin. That is wrong. You are doing maybe the physical things that may look like what a righteous person does, but you are far from God when that's why you're doing things. So the Pharisees here now, I said Pharisees. This passage doesn't mention the Pharisees. It calls them hypocrites. He's often been referring to the Pharisees and calls them hypocrites, so he could be referring to the Pharisees here, but he's speaking much more broadly, hypocrites. In Israel, there will be a few times of the year when there will be called for a nationwide fast. Their New Year's, Day of Atonement, when the whole nation would fast. There would also be other times when there would be calamity that would come forth in the nation, and there would be a call from the king or the leaders for the whole nation to fast, to stop eating food, okay, for a time period, all right? Whether it was an army coming against them or drought in the land, there will be a call to fast as a means of repenting and seeking God. And that special time setting aside to seek God. What happened very quickly here is that what Jesus is referring to is that others took on voluntary fasts at different times of the year. And when they did, they did it in such a way that everyone around them knew they were fasting. In fact, knew that they were fasting at not the prescribed times by the law, were doing it above and beyond the law, and were doing it in a look at me kind of way. Right? You'd just walk by and you'd see them and say, how you doing? Oh, my stomach. I am so hungry. God is so good. Right? Looking for the applause from people. He's saying, don't do that. That's not Jesus. Jesus says that's not any type of religious activity. But see, it's not just that simple. Many of us would say, well, you know, I don't fast, and so, you know, if I did, you know, I keep it quiet. And when we do that, it's very easy for us to go, I am pretty righteous. Look how quiet I'm keeping my fast. Nobody knows. God must really kind of be pleased with this. See, our hearts are so wicked, and we're so self-absorbed and not Jesus-absorbed, that the lines are so easy for us, even in our religious activities. This is what's been so, to me at least, so striking about these three illustrations in the beginning of chapter 6 here, is that these things we do, prayer, right? What can be more pure and more an expression of my devotion to God and my love for God than prayer? And yet even in prayer, are going, I've been praying for 15 minutes. I'll bet so-and-so's not praying that long. Right? Right? That's just what our heart, we kind of start to go into that. We start saying, we'll be fasting, right? And we'll go, I've fasted a pretty long time. 2 days. That's pretty good. Right? That's what our hearts begin to do. And Jesus says, hypocrites. Hypocrites, that's not what fasting, that's not what any type of religious activity, any type of devotion to God is about. That takes nothing from God to do. And that declares nothing of who God is. Don't fast like the others. When we fast, don't fast as if it were a law. I'm going to fast every Friday for the next 6 months. That's what we do. We're going to hold a fast every single Friday. God may lead you to do that. But here's the thing, right? So here again, the real subtle line here, right? I feel God calling me to fast. I feel God calling me to fast regularly. I'm going to make it a rule. And then I come to that Friday and I say, well, it doesn't matter what. I'm going to fast no matter what because I'm going to show that I have good discipline and I'm capable of doing this. So I'm going to pull up my bootstraps and I'm going to do it. And when it becomes a rule, when it becomes a law, we kill grace. Because now what are we doing? What are we focusing on when we make the rule the end? We're focusing on us. And we're not focusing on God. And it's a subtle thing. Fasting every Friday may be wonderful devotion to God if it's unto God. Or it may be law. And be terrible unto God. Don't fast to lose weight. I know it's kind of silly, but in our culture, a lot of times as people, as we're contemplating, again, I feel God's calling me to fast. I don't know if I can, if I should or not. You know, I might lose a few pounds. Huh. That wouldn't be so bad. Huh, Lord, you really, maybe you are calling me to fast, God. Yeah, okay. Those other thoughts, and they come in. I know thoughts come, I know. Repent of those thoughts, right? Those things lead us away from God. What do I really want? To look good in that swimsuit this summer or whatever. You know, that's what I really want, not God. Don't fast as a transaction with God. You know, I know if I fast, I really want that new I've been praying for it. God hasn't answered the prayer in the way I want Him to. So I'm going to fast to show God I'm really serious. And if I give this up for God, if I sacrifice this for God, surely He then will give me what I want. God, I mean, I gave up food for You, God. Why can't You make that guy like me? Why can't You... whatever, you know, fill in the blank, the thing we really want, right? Don't fast with a kind of a quid pro quo with God, as if God were a giant vending machine in the sky and our fast is putting a coin in and we just think we can push a button to get what we want out of Him. Don't fast in a way that draws us away from God. What are we to do then? How are we to fast? Well, Jesus declares in verses 17 and 18, fast for God. I wish I had an illustration that took me over here this way so I could walk here. And turn up the fan because it's hot. That was anti-subtle. I wish I could think better and had something more natural to do that with, but I didn't. When we fast for, unto, with, out of love for God. What is fasting about? It's very simple and very complex, for it is of the Lord. When we fast, we are giving up physical food and a time to approach God and to set aside to coming to God in a special way. And if God leads you, places on your heart to fast, consider it. Consider it. We go without food so we can draw close to God. When we feel the physical hunger pains, We consciously make the shift and turn our thoughts to God. Turn our thoughts to, I want to hunger for You this way, Lord. the way I feel the hunger for the physical food. We feel the need for food churning in our stomach, and we turn our minds to our need for God. We fast to set aside our physical needs and seek God. That's it. A time of saying, I'm giving this away, Lord, just to set it, not because it makes me more spiritual, not because it makes you owe me anything, but because I'm just making a special time. Physical aside, I'm going to focus on you, O Lord God. A lot of times it could be in a time when there is something, a great need in your life. Or it's a great time that you want to set aside for praying for something special or significant, certainly. Or it may be just because it's a Tuesday afternoon, the Lord calls you to fight. It's okay. As the Holy Spirit prompts us, we should fast. In terms of how that all works out, again, that's really outside the scope of this morning, but there's all different, it can be, you can fast for one meal, you can fast for a few days, you can fast just food and still drink water or drink fruit juice. You can fast other things besides food, you can fast your time, you can fast, give up anything, give up TV, whatever. But we just need to be careful as we're doing this, that it is unto the Lord. And here's the basic idea, I think, that Jesus is getting us here. The heart that Jesus commends, that He calls us to have, is one that when we fast, or when we give money, or when we pray, we forget about ourselves. We completely don't even think about what other people are thinking. It would never occur to us as we're praying that someone else might think we're great. I don't care! Because I'm so focused on God. Now I know that's a hard thing. I know that because we are sinful people, and our minds wander, and we're very wrapped up in the worldly things. But that's what Jesus is commending to us. That as you're fasting, you don't even have to keep it a secret. See, that can become prideful too, right? Oh, I'm going to keep it a secret. That becomes a thing to do. But the point there is that it's so, I don't even care what people think. It doesn't even matter if people think I'm great or not. I don't even think about myself or what people think about me. All I think about is Jesus. Is my King. Is my Savior. I don't fast to make me righteous. I fast because Jesus Christ made me righteous. And I love Him. And I want to be devoted to Him. Not as an act of servitude, not as an act of law, but out of love. Do you see the difference? I don't know. I mean, it's a subtle thing, right? To do something out of duty or to do it out of love. What glory does God get if we stiff upper lip, very dutifully say, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to pray three times a day, and I'm reading two chapters of the Bible every day? I don't want to. I have no desire in my heart to do it, but it's the right thing to do. Oh, God is so glorified then, isn't He? Oh, wow. Doesn't God look wonderful then? No. When I, out of love, with dirty knees and hands, because I am so unable, say, God, I help. And that's my prayer for the month. But I pray that because I love Him. There God receives the glory. It's a matter of the heart. We forget ourselves. We lose thought of ourselves. And we think only of God. I believe that's what Jesus is teaching us here. Well, He concludes with a very interesting verse, which He has said again and again. It was in verse 1, and He's used it in the illustrations also. And He concludes with it here. Verse 18. It will be not be obvious to men that you're fast. Sorry, the middle of it there. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He's used that word reward a number of times. Maybe, if you're like me, at least, you hear that, and that strikes you as a strange thing for God to say. Because that ends up being the motivation. Right? In the structure of his sentence here, the structure of his teaching, he's giving that as the motivation for our true fasting, our true praying, our true giving, our true act of righteousness. Well, why do I do that, God? What is gonna compel me on to rightly worship you? Jesus says, because your Father will reward you. And if you do it unto yourself or for other people to look at you, you don't get a reward. Doesn't that seem a little strange at first? Wouldn't you think, well, why is God bribing me? Isn't that kind of what it feels like at first, you know? Not that any of you have ever done that. Not that we've ever done it. But I've heard there's other parents in the world who will say, if you finish your beans, you can have a cupcake. I mean, I've read about that. Right? Not necessarily bad. And partially, that's what God, that's what Jesus does. He does it a lot, actually. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's what I think is a stunning verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay. So we can't just serve God out of duty. We must believe. We must trust. We must hope. We must have faith in God in order to please Him. That makes sense so far, I think, right? Is that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must, one, believe that He exists, okay, and two, that He rewards those who seek Him earnestly. In order to please God, we must come to Him believing that He is a God who rewards us. That's weird. At first, it looks weird that Jesus wants us to come to Him saying, I know You are a God who rewards us, and I'm coming to You knowing that, thinking about that. And that's what He's saying here in our passage, and what He's been saying all throughout chapter 6 so far. Look, don't think about other people. Think about your Father. And your Father in heaven will reward you. Now, it doesn't go into what the reward is here. That's for another time. I think that it significantly in Scriptures is not physical, material things, and the times when it is. I believe it is always pointing through the material reward blessing onto the spiritual reality, the spiritual blessing. And when we look and stop at the material blessing as what the real blessing is, we lose the spiritual, true blessing that God is providing for us. We come to the Father because He loves us and wants to reward us. Now, our perverted mind starts thinking, all right, so if I fast, if I can figure this out and get this done correctly, I'm going to get a reward. I'm going to get that cupcake. I think the reward is much greater than the cupcake. And if we want a cupcake, which we do, we are trading our birthright for porridge. I think the reward is He wants to give us Jesus. He wants to give us what we need, ultimately, wonderfully. And as we come to Him and we give our money away, not thinking about what it's from or what it's going to, or that we're giving it all. When we pray, not worrying about what other people think, but we're so focused on God because we love Him. When we fast because we just want to seek God and we want to be with Him. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We don't care what we own think. We don't even care what we think. God gives us Himself as our reward. He comes and He dwells with us and He sups with us. And He walks with us. And He talks with us. And He shows us Himself. And He holds us. And He carries us. And He protects us. And He shows us the joy of being in Him. For He is our great reward. So brothers and sisters, come to Jesus. Focus on God. Forget about yourself. Let's pray. Father, I pray that even as we try to seek you, we don't turn it into another to-do list, but we utterly bankrupt, God. We come as beggars before your throne and say, Lord, we have nothing to give you but our filthy rags. We need you, Lord Jesus, to wash away our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to bring us into your family, to give us the inheritance of heaven and eternity with you, O Lord Jesus. We don't deserve it. We know, Father, we only deserve condemnation and judgment because of our sin. Even our best righteousness is filthy, so corrupted. So we come as beggars, God, not expecting anything, yet knowing that as we believe on Jesus, you give us the kingdom. I pray, O God, you help the things of this world to grow strangely dim. Our concern for what other people think, our concern for what we even think, how great we think we are, that we would just, Lord, stop thinking about ourselves. And that you, Lord Jesus, would become more real, more beautiful, more glorious in our sight, O God, as we seek you through your word, through prayer, through fellowshipping with one another, other believers. May we see you and love you and do everything in our life out of love for you, Lord Jesus. May we really see how wonderful you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.